This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Have you ever heard of a new fashion or social media trend and started railing against it in horror with phrases like young people these days or what is this world coming to? I think we've all had those moments, whether it's a shocking movie, a badly behaved celebrity, or the decisions of a younger generation. It's so easy to lash out against what is wrong with that part of the culture and tell our workmates at the water cooler that we're boycotting. Well, there is an alternative to that response. Sam Chan is a guy who is keen to see people of faith redeeming their culture instead of reacting to it. He's a public speaker at City Bible Forum. He's a blogger at Espresso Theology, and he joins me now. G'day, Sam.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, firstly, why Espresso Theology? Why is that the name of your blog?
Oh, because we all need a quick shot of caffeine sometime in the day. So I thought we all need a quick shot of theology or Jesus in the day.
Yep.
And that's the whole idea. It's quick. It should be less than 60 seconds to read. And the tagline is from your world to Jesus in 60 seconds. So looking for some overlap in our world that we can find in common with Jesus and the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So talking about that overlap between culture and God, what do you mean by the term redeeming the culture in a bit of a nutshell?
Yeah, so as a nerdy theologian, we've all been taught things like there's general revelation where God speaks to all peoples, all times, all places, not just Christians. There's common grace, so there's common goodness in all cultures, all peoples, all times, all places, not just in the Christian culture. And everyone's in the image of God, so somehow, not just in Christian culture, but in all cultures, there is goodness, there's beauty, and there's truth. And in some way, all cultures reflect humankind's common cries for God. We're all in the image of God, and somehow we're all searching for God in our different ways.
I like that. So there's a little bit of God's fingerprints.
Yes, that's right. So C.S. Lewis says every culture, every story, every fable, every myth, God has planted seeds of the gospel in that culture. So we listen carefully, we can actually hear echoes of the gospel in other people's cultural storylines.
Okay, now I've heard you use a great little analogy once to explain the difference between reacting against the culture and redeeming the culture, and it's particularly helpful to parents of teenagers. This analogy you used about a parent and their child growing up.
Yeah, well, and it also applies to youth group workers. So I'd imagine you're a youth group leader and suddenly into your youth group walks, and now I'm Asian, so I'm allowed to say this.
Okay.
Walks a typical 16-year-old Asian high achiever, let's call her Jane, and her ambition in life is to study hard, get into medicine or law, get into university, and you as a youth group leader, your first reaction is to react against her culture and to tell her, hey, Jane, there's more to life than just study. There's Jesus. Maybe you're studying too hard. Maybe even better, drop out of university and serve Jesus as a missionary. And then into your youth group will walk, let's call him Jack, who's a typical surfy dude. His ambition in life is to drop out of high school, maybe get into some sort of work or trade where he can finish work at 3 o'clock and surf every day with his mates. So then your reaction would be to react against his culture and say, hey, Jack, there's more to life than just surfing. Maybe you need to apply God's gifts to you, like study and get into university. And then if you can step back and see what you've done, we think we've given Jane and Jack Jesus, but we've actually given them our own culture and reacted against their culture. And ironically, we've told Jane to become Jack, and we've told Jack to become Jane. We haven't given them Jesus. We've given them our culture and reacted against them. So the challenge for missionaries and even as Christians is to see how Jane can be a Christian, but as an Asian high-achieving Christian, and how Jack can be a Christian and serving Jesus, but as a surfer dude. People should be able to stay in their cultures and serve Jesus in their cultures. So we all laugh at, you know, the original missionaries who made people of non-Western culture wear Western clothes and sing hymns from the organ, think, oh, you know, we would never do that. But we do when we impose our culture upon other people and their cultures that we don't understand.
Okay. And so let's look at that analogy of Jack and Jane. What is it in their respective cultures or interests that reflects some of these, you know, godly values.
Yeah, that's right. So in every culture is a storyline. So you listen to Jane's story. What is she really after? It's actually not medicine. It's not law. She's actually after a way of honoring her parents and also looking for security and stability. And in her culture, that's their way of crying out for security and stability and safety. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Jack and sort of hear his storyline. He's actually not after the drop out of school storyline. He's not just after the surf everyday thing. He's after freedom. Mm. There's a God-given cry for freedom that he's searching for.
Interesting. I must confess to you that the first time I heard you share that analogy, I felt quite convicted. I'm a step-parent of an 18-year-old young man, and I thought, wow, I'm being that parent who wants to make him into what I think is a picture of success. He's a very smart guy, but he's currently chosen just to do a really easy kind of trade, very physical labor type job, and spends his weekends kind of partying and enjoying life. And he's not interested in study. And I felt like, oh, okay, I was being challenged by what you said to recognize what is actually godly in what he's doing. So thanks for that one,
thank
Sam.
You.
So let's talk a little bit about Paul the Apostle, because he was one guy that was very good at this, at looking at what was in his culture and seeing how people around him, even though they weren't necessarily following God, they were actually searching for what we recognize as godly things.
Yes. So we have Paul in the book of Acts, chapter 17. He's in Athens and he walks into a place where there are idols everywhere. Mm. And he's actually saddened by it, disgusted by it. But then when it's time to talk to these people, he doesn't try to react against them. He works with them and he states to them their storyline to show that he's heard them, understood them, and empathized with them. He says something like, wow, you've got a lot of idols here, meaning I've noticed your storyline. And then he says, and you've even got one to an unknown God. And it's almost like, hey, I get where you're coming from. Mm. Like, you want to cover all your bases. Imagine there's a God out there you're not worshiping and he might be the true God. Well, guess what? I'm here to tell you about this true God. So he's working with their culture. He's shown, he's heard their storyline. And then the interesting thing is he begins by quoting their authors, their singers, their poets. He starts saying things like, and as you know, in him we live and move and have our being. And he's quoting one of their philosophers. And then he quotes one of their poets. We are, you know, their offspring. So he's actually working with their culture. So, hey, because of common grace, general revelation, we actually have an overlap here. There's common truth, common goodness, and common beauty. But you also have a deficiency. You don't know the name of this true God. So I'm here to tell you about this true God. And I think often we think we need to be like Jesus, who went into the temple with a whip and cleared it out.
Mm.
But I think what's interesting in the Bible, God is like that to people who should have known better.
Mm.
People who are Christians, devout Christians or followers of God,
who
religious. Should have known better. That's right. But the people who don't know better, God is quite accommodating and begins where they are and slowly works from where they are to him.
Mm. So that's a really good tip for people of faith who are looking to express their faith to their non-Christian friends. That's an example of actually answering the cry of their heart that they might not even know is there.
That's right. I think we got to get them nodding their heads first. We got to show we've heard them, we've understood them, and we know where we're coming from. So when Paul says, hey, you've got a lot of idols here, that would make them nod.
Mm.
And you've even got one to an unknown God, that would make them nod.
Mm.
And as your poets say, and he quotes their poets, that will make them nod. So I think our first step is to actually show we've heard them and state back to them this storyline. So they're nodding their heads, go, yeah, you've got me, you've got me, that's me, you've got me.
So let's talk for a minute about some examples of pop culture then. I can think of so many, you know, pop stars that we would think of, you know, that we might think of as badly behaved, like maybe some rappers or, you know, Justin Bieber, who's got this Christian faith, but he struggles with his public behavior at times. And you've got people like Kanye West and the Kardashians. So they're really easy targets to tear down and to say, oh, you're know, being obscene or whatever.
Mm, that's right.
But actually we can look at that, look at their lyrics, look at their art and look at what is it that they're searching for in their heart?
And, that's right.
And also their fans, maybe they're searching for the same things.
That's right. So it's so easy to think there must be something here I need to oppose or shoot down. Mm-hmm. But if then we start from the other place and think, how can I be like Paul in Athens? What is the goodness, the truth that God has planted here in this storyline? And this person is in the image of God. So somehow they're actually crying for God in their own way. So what can I hear here to use to get to Jesus?
Okay, let's talk about movies for a second. Yeah. There's heaps of movies that people who follow Christ find it hard to, I guess, embrace. And some of those have been over the years, things like The Da Vinci Code, The Golden Compass, maybe Harry Potter. You know, there was a certain set of the Christian community that really railed against Harry Potter for a while. What would you say to people about movies that explore spirituality or God or the lack of God?
Yeah, well, again, as C.S. Lewis said, every story has a seed of the gospel there. Or Don Richardson, who was the missionary to a very unreached tribe, and he thought, how am I going to tell these people about Jesus? He and his wife worked out, wow, somehow there's an analogy of the gospel in every storyline. So in every story or movie or pop song, there's actually an analogy of the gospel, some very obvious, some not so obvious. And part of the fun then and the challenge is to find these analogies of the gospel. Or even find out what is the cry of the heart. So I'll give you the example of the Da Vinci Code. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, Jonathan Dykes, who gives a lot of public talks to non-Christians, he was given the job of giving a Christian response to the Da Vinci Code. And Jonathan and I sat down and talked about it and said, you know, this would be so easy to shoot down this book. It's so simple. Really, it's an easy target. But hang on, let's take a step back. This is in the top 10 of London, New York, Sydney. Somehow it's touched a nerve. There's a cry of the heart here that people are expressing in the Da Vinci Code. What is it? And we thought, well, maybe people have been hurt by the church, mm-hmm. and this is a way of expressing the hurt. Or maybe there's a search for freedom to be able to think for yourself and not be told what to think by organized authority. So maybe that might be the cry of the heart in the Da Vinci Code. Mm. And interestingly, Jesus says the same thing. So Jesus has the go at the Pharisees and organized religion. So somehow the cry of the heart in the Da Vinci Code is actually there in the Bible, where the Old Testament prophets speak against organized religion and where Jesus speaks against the religious leaders.
Mm. Now, you had a fun little piece on your Espresso Theology blog the other day about Candace Payne, the Chewbacca mask lady, or Chewbacca mum. And you had an interesting thought about what we can read out of her, you know, her sudden internet fame.
Yes, that's right. Well, she's so funny. Like when you watch the video, you can't stop laughing. And I told my wife, Steph, watch this. I dare you, challenge you not to laugh uncontrollably. And sure enough, she was laughing with Candace when she put the Chewbacca mask on. And I thought, well, what is it that makes something funny? So I actually put my nerdy hat on and researched it. Apparently, what makes something uncontrollably funny is you've got to be doing something just slightly maybe out of the box, that's not quite permissive, permissible. And here it's an adult putting on a child's mask. So it's a minor offense. And that's what makes it laughable. And I thought, wow, the Bible actually has a lot to talk about laughter. And one of the things it says, how God will convert our tears into laughter. And it's almost like God will take something that can harm us, like our sin and our guilt, but then he removes it and now it can't hurt us anymore. So it's almost like a harmless thing to us now, and that's why we can laugh about it.
That's lovely. And I think also, instead of railing against the waste of time and money that, you know, maybe plastic Chewbacca masks are, it's like a fun way of realizing, well, you know, we can actually have a laugh at ourselves. You know, someone that comes to mind is Dami Im, the incredibly suddenly successful pop star that we know and love, and the way she has redeemed culture. I think of how she suddenly rose to fame with Eurovision, and yet being a devout Christian, she could have thought, oh, well, no, that's not for me, that's a bit too worldly. But instead she went with that opportunity, and now she's redeemed it to be able to bring awareness to compassion and sponsor children and children in poverty, which I think is lovely. And another guy that comes to mind is Josh Hawkins.
Right.
Now, Josh, you have a connection with Josh Hawkins, the YouTube celebrity.
Oh, yes. Josh, I used to teach Josh in a Bible college. I was a theology lecturer.
Okay.
And I wrote to Josh on his website saying, now you're famous. I'd love to be able to say I once lectured you at Bible college, except you never used to turn up to my lectures. So I couldn't have that claim to fame.
That's quite funny. And so for those who are wondering who Josh Hawkins is, he's the guy who's done the How to Speak Australian Slang videos you may have seen on Facebook or YouTube. And he's a great example, isn't he, of someone redeeming culture?
That's right. So Josh once had to give a seminar on Christians and social media. And, you know, typically we, as Christians, we want to say everything that's wrong with social media. And there are many things wrong with social media. But again, because of God's general revelation and common grace, there's some things in it that are good that we can redeem. And I guess to use a cliche, use it for the forces of good rather than for darkness.
Yep.
I remember hearing Timothy Keller say, because of God's common grace, no non-Christian culture is as depraved as it is. There's always some goodness in it that we can redeem. And at the same time, because of human depravity, no Christian culture is as holy as it should be.
Mm.
So us Christians shouldn't be so self-righteous to think we can always oppose what's outside of us. At the same time, we can learn from the common grace and the general revelation and the image of God found in other cultures.
Great. Well, Sam Chan, you've given us a lot of great ideas to think about and hopefully popped our Christian bubble for a little while. We've been talking to Sam Chan. He's from City Bible Forum, and you can read more about his work at Espresso Theology. And what's the URL of that?
EspressoTheology.com. And the tagline is From Your World to Jesus in 60 Seconds.
Beauty. Thanks, Sam, for your time.
Thank you, Claire.